83.
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगणं रघुनाथं द्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सगणं ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते
गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते।
तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी कृशवानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
सो द लास्ट वीक वी डिड कवर
9% ऑफ
Yeah, right. 9 process of devotions. So, almost, I think Prabhupada dedicates almost 7 or 8 pages on only one topic. So, what's the topic mainly covers, you know, that last 7 or 8 pages?
Shravan.
Shravan hearing. And?
Kirtana.
And? So, what happens once you, you know, keep hearing or chanting, what happens at the end of, what's the consequence of all those things?
Whenever you do,
you will be thinking about the Lord. And yes, that's the main. So the whole thing was about the remembrance of Krishna. When we, you know, leave our body, how, you know, attentive or how much, you know, our consciousness is about, you know, thinking about Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada, it's very important, because in introduction itself, he is using almost like, you know, giving 7 or 8 pages of information about that. Then also, I don't know whether you got opportunity to read. So also he gives quotes a verse how to do that also, you know, how to remember. So he quotes here. So if you can go to page 38. No, just about that. Just before Gita Maya. Yeah. So it's page 27.
So in that the
translation is, he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Arjuna, is sure to reach me. So it's like, you know, promise, right? Krishna is promising. So, and constantly engaged, and that's by abhyasa, yoga yuktena, that means practice. So we need to practice. And many times we have already, you know, referred that you cannot directly take some exam. Instead of that, you need to practice even to sit exam. So same thing with our devotional service also. So the quality, you know, it increases every day, you know, if you chant, next day it increases, the quality, you know, every time it's increasing. And also Prabhupada talks about, like, you know, can anybody achieve the perfection? He says in this one, he talks about. Can everybody take the process and they can attain perfection? Is it possible?
Or what are the qualifications or prerequisites? Are there any prerequisites?
There's no prerequisite. So Prabhupada, it says, after continuation of that paragraph, he says here, all classes of men can approach Lord Krishna by thinking of him. For hearing and thinking of him are possible for everyone. And also, you know, he quotes two verses, that Bhagavad Gita 9.32 to 33. I will just read the English translation. Thus the Lord says that even a merchant, a fallen woman, or a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life can attain the Supreme. One does not need highly developed intelligence. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of Bhakti Yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So anyone can take, as Prabhupada has mentioned, different categories. So in this, only thing is, I would say it's, you know, we need to have that faith. Scientifically, we cannot prove a lot of things, you know, we cannot really prove by scientific way. So at some point of time, you know, you need to put the faith and try. And also that by seeing others. It's not that, right, we are not going to a place where, you know, it's not explored. It's not an unexplored area. It's already explored. People have gone, use this path. So we have to see the, we need to have some kind of role model, and we need to follow. And we need that strong faith. Once you have that faith, then everything, you know, falls in place. Otherwise, we will never be able to put up all the puzzles together. It will remain as puzzles. So then Prabhupada also talks, he doesn't quote here, but other lectures he says, can anybody tell, like, you know, because we saw here a merchant or lowest status of life, can you give us some example where somebody, you know, really low status of life, not just, you know, was dedicated, you know, brahmanas or something, somebody who was yes, and anybody else can you think of which is very, you know,
Haridas
or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Lokas. Yeah, Haridas. Haridas Thakur. Yeah, Haridas Thakur also, okay. But even more, you know, generally in the history we have heard.
The boatman who took Ram, Lord Ram.
Goa, right?
Goa.
Yeah. So you know about Valmiki. Yeah, that's what I am telling. So more, you know, like a bigger, like for example, Valmiki.
Valmiki Muni.
You have heard of Valmiki, right?
Yeah.
He was someone who wrote Ramayana. So you are
saying?
Hunter.
Hunter.
Yeah. And there is one more hunter, very famous, in Srimad Bhagavatamal, Murgari. He is also, his name is Murgari. He was also a hunter. But they just took the instructions of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gave instruction, you know, you just sit in front of Tulsi Maharani, and you just chant the mantra. Then their life became perfect. So that means from the lower status of life, they could say. And any, you know, animals, can you guess, like, who also got liberated?
Gajendra.
He was an animal. No, he was an elephant. But by just, you know, from the previous life, he could remember his, you know, he was a king and, you know, he had done a lot of pious activities. So he could remember the Lord's. Helping Lord Ram. Like, yeah. So that's what, you know, Prabhupada quotes in different this thing. So, Prabhupada, you know, he wants to convey that we can be in any status of life. You don't have to have a higher intelligence or anything. Any status of life, you need to have that faith. Then you can cross over this ocean of material existence. You can attain the perfection. So that's what I would, from the last class we can talk about. So now we can go to Gita Nayat. So this is Prabhupada quotes, like, you know, seven verses. It's actually this is compiled by Sripad Shankaracharya. And you know whose incarnation he is? Sripad Shankaracharya?
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. His incarnation of Lord Shiva. So we'll just read, it's very beautiful verses. Maybe you want to recite. Its verses are very beautiful. If you know anybody, you know, meter out to from, like, you know, recite, it's a very beautiful verse.
No, Sripad Shankaracharya is not Adi Shankara.
No, that is Adi Shankara.
Yeah, same. Right? Adi Shankaracharya. Yeah.
So even though he gave the impersonal philosophy, actually he is Lord Shiva, right? So he quoted many verses glorifying the Lord. One of this is the glorification of Bhagavad Gita. Other one is like Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, yes, right? That's also there.
And
like
even there he says about the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
So even he gave the impersonal philosophy, but anyway we don't want to go into the details. But still, you know, he always believed in Narayana. So he knew that there is an, you know, personal form of Lord Narayana. But, you know, to cater to different category of people, he gave the impersonal philosophy also.
Gita Shastram Idam Punyam.
We can all recite together here, we can say.
Gita Shastram Idam Punyam, Yapate Prayata Puman, Vishnu Padam Avapnoti, Vayasokadi Varshitaha.
If one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. So I heard a different lecture, so I made some point, we'll just discuss that. It's not in the book, and I don't think we'll have it in the exam. Will not have this one. This is just for, you know, for our thing, so you don't have to write down or anything. Just we'll go through a few points. So Prabhupada talks about, you know, like how, because here it's mainly talking about all the miseries and anxieties of life. And we discussed already, you know, like how the whole material world, it's programmed or designed for miseries. There is no happiness, right? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes.
Does anybody disagree with that? Or examples to agree with that?
Like you can find some happiness.
There will be fleeting happiness, but then it lasts for longer. Seems like a fleeting happiness.
Always happiness is going to come and it will move. It's a moving target, right? When you go there, it will go somewhere.
So let's see what Lord Krishna says. So you can go to 8:15. That's what Prabhupada quotes. 8:15. 1:5. Yeah. Okay, you can start with, I will few quotes. You can start with the English translation.
3:15.
3:5. Oh. You know, the easier way, I don't know, Mata is searching for the page. On the top you see, right, the chapter.
The chapter name you see on top.
So you can find by that. It's more easier way to.
8 chapter, 14th verse. On top left corner, you will see the verse.
You read the English translation.
After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection.
So this statement is from Lord Krishna himself. So he's saying, Dukkalaya Ashashvatam. Dukkalaya means the place of miseries, and Ashashvatam means temporary. So this place is full of miseries and
anxieties.
And it's anxieties and it's temporary. So that's why, you know, here it says, one who properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. So it's emphasizing the reading of Bhagavad Gita regularly. And regularly means not theoretical way, you know, you just not like a, like, you know, parrot. We don't just read like theoretically, but we need to apply the principles of Bhagavad Gita also. And Prabhupada says, you know, if you teach a parrot, you know, like welcome or something, you know, it repeats actually. Parrot repeats. And also you can teach it, teach him Hare Krishna mantra also. So you can recite. But do you think he really knows what he is doing? He doesn't know parrot. So whenever you know, hold him his neck, he forgets all the mantras, everything. So Prabhupada clearly emphasizes that instead of, you know, like a parrot theoretically reciting Bhagavad Gita or reading, we need to apply it in practice, principles. We need to follow the principles. And we will go through the verses. We will know how to follow the different of yoga system, you know, all those things. And also the Prabhupada gives example of one Brahmana, like... he was a very expert in reading Bhagavad Gita. No, old times, I think they used to, with the proper meter, you know, all those things, meanings, everything they knew. So he used to do everyday recitation. Just opposite to his house, there was one prostitute also who used to live just opposite to his house. But so what he used to do is, while reciting, so he used to always notice who comes, you know, who visits her, all those things he used to notice. Then when he got really old and, you know, he was about to die, then he was, when he left his body, then Yamadutas came to take, you know, the bodies. Then he asked, I'm reciting Bhagavad Gita for so many, you know, years and all, but I think you have come to a wrong place. Maybe not, I'm not the person. But then Yamadutas told, no, they check their books, right? They have their own books to cross-check. So they checked, they told, no, we are in the right place. Then they told, even though you are reading Bhagavad Gita so many years, but your mind was somewhere else. Basically, it's always, you know, used to focus there, who is coming to the prostitute place. So Prabhupada quotes that, you know, so practically when we read or anything, we need to apply practically. So it should not become an information storehouse kind of thing. As what we do these days, right? We just collect information, but we don't apply.
There is an actual full story I heard is Prabhu. So, just like this guy is focused on her, she was focused on, I wonder how he's thinking of God and all that.
Mm.
So what happens after death is that this guy's body, the Pandit's body, is all put with Chandan Mala, he's placed on everything, he's burnt on sandalwood, all Agarbatti Sara. Her body nobody even discovers for 10 days, it's rotten and everything. So they get to the gates and they are judged. It's like, you know, you abused your body, so you got the price for that, so your body rotted. You kept up the bodily appearance, so your body got the treatment for that. But your mind was in the gutter, so you go to shit. Your mind was clean, so you come up.
See, so finally here boils down to, you know, our consciousness. So we'll come across that actually there is a point, you know, like how we need to change our consciousness. So let's go to the second verse.
Gita dhyana shilasya
pranayam parasya cha naiva shanti papani purva janma kritani.
If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. So which verse, I don't think we covered, which verse says, Krishna promises that, you know, he will take care of all the reactions. So if you can
verse.
Go back to...
No, let them guess. Famous
no,
verse.
They don't.
Yoga Kshema.
Yeah. Sarvadharma Parityajya.
1866. So
the
let's go to 18.
The last
one
is almost
last day. 66.
See, Mataji, Prabhuji is reading more than you.
he's taken all the Sanskrit courses and everything. He knows all those.
You remember?
I can't even read these properly.
1866.
Yeah.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
See, this also, you know, like how he's promising actually, you know, if you have that faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then it's very clear, there is no, you know, you cannot twist or nobody can twist these things. He's saying directly, you know, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, regarding that, you know, so in this, the essence is with, like, you know, we need to read with sincerity and with all seriousness. So that's the one thing. And also, Prabhupada mentions that, you know, even the reading Bhagavad Gita, it's a worship. Right? Do you know which verse, Prabhu? it's kind of a worship. It's not that, you know, like, for aarti, right? Like, we see aarti, only pujaris do that. We think that's kind of a worship. But Prabhupada and even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we'll quote that.
I will tell you.
We'll quote that. So, even reading Bhagavad Gita, because we use our intelligence. So, Krishna says, with intelligence, we can worship him. So, we consider that as a worship. And in the aarti, right, the one we do regularly, pujaris do. So, there we use all the pancha, maha, panchabhuta materials, right? Water, fire, air, ether. Like, you know, incense stick, it's a earth material. The ghee wick we use, that's a fire. And of course, the water we use. And we use the fan, the chamaras, everything. That's air and ether. So that's how we engage all the maha panchabhuta material in this worship. So also we can use our intelligence also.
18.70.
Yeah, so we can refer
7.8.
708.
18th chapter, 70th verse.
You can read the Sanskrit. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Mm.
Right? So, again, Krishna is making it very clear. So, we can worship. And this Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between?
Just by reading
Arjuna and Krishna, right? So that's what he is mentioning here. That means the whole Bhagavad Gita. So if you just read with sincerity and seriously, then we are worshipping Krishna. And also, you know, Prabhupada mentions like how if you have any bottle, you know, you can just taste from outside, you know, just the glass, you can just think about, you know, how tasty it is. But with, if you read with sincerity, you know, you can really, you know, it says, you know, you have to open the lid and you have to really put your finger in the honey bottle and you have to really taste, like, that's what he compares, like, you know, if you want to sincerely, you have to dwell into the material or the book to understand. And also, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada quotes that it's about Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So there it said that, you know, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. So whatever, you know, we have all the miseries or, you know, to get rid of that, we need to always Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So you need to always be engaged in devotional service, like Bhagavata Sevaya. So Bhagavat means we can be of two types. One is book, that is Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, and the other is person Bhagavat. Like, you know, who are dedicated their life for devotional service, we have to serve them. And also we need to read. It's not, that's why Prabhupada doesn't say, you know, just you need to read, that's, so that's enough. But we need to serve also, the person who really sincerely follows, so we need to serve them. And also you need to read. So you need both. You cannot say, you know, I will do only one, I can achieve the perfection. You need to do both. He mentions a different lecture, it's not here. I'm just sharing for, you know, your information. And, that's the point.
Maline mochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrat gita amrita snanam samsara mananashanam.
One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water. But if one takes a bath, even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him, the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. It's so amazing, right?
But some people, they're scared.
Why? It's so beautiful and composed, actually, you know.
Scared of what?
They take material life or what?
Yeah, no, there is the last class, I think many of you were not present. We quoted a verse where Krishna promises, like, for to whom I show special mercy, from him I take away everything. So without any because all his relatives, friends, they reject him, without any choice he just surrenders to me. So then Prabhu asked the reference, so next week Prabhu sent a reference.
I think I sent it to all group.
Yeah, everybody. So then Prabhu read, and the last class he told, oh, it's very scary. We can't imagine that. Then I told, like, we are not that special, like Krishna to take away.
No,
so
anyway, by the time I think we become that special person, I think we would have given up all.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. So Krishna won't take away that quickly. And anyway, it's a gradual process, so you can always remember.
It's much more simpler than that, right? He knows how much each person is capable of taking. That's
There is a, you know, very nice thing. To do anything, right? For example, any service or any, for example, you may get some instruction from, for example, we get some instruction from our spiritual master. You know? So we should always remember, and it's actually according to the scripture. So when they give some instruction, the power also comes with it to perform that instruction. So they don't give any instruction, you know, which we cannot achieve. So it's always like, you know, Krishna, same thing. So Krishna gives something, some task or something to do, but he gives us the facilities, faculties and intelligence to do it. So he never puts the devotees in anxiety. So let's see. So this one, it, you know, Prabhupada is, or Sripad Shankaracharya is, you know, comparing Bhagavad Gita, right, here. So like how taking it. So what so we take daily bath, right? I hope everybody takes bath. So we do it for?
Cleaning ourselves.
Cleaning?
Body.
Cleaning material body, external, right, our body. So how can we clean our internal body, which is, you know, mainly made up of mind and consciousness? So that's what he's saying here, right? Bath even once in sacred Ganges of Bhagavad Gita, for him, the dirt of material life. Because we are a soul, we are, you know, always mind and consciousness. So we need to clean our consciousness. And that's where Prabhupada mentioned we need to read the Bhagavad Gita very attentively. Then we can clean our dirt, cleanses the dirt of our material existence. And we also know, we have a, right, mainly in the Vedas, right, Karmakanda portion, we have a different cleansing processes. So if you commit some sins or anything, there is some atonement, right? It's mentioned in different prayaschit or something, right? But what's the disadvantage of that? What's the disadvantage of following those kind of procedure or processes?
It takes long.
It can take.
It will come back.
So you are basically, you know, you atone something, you perform
like
something.
Like, for example, it's church, right? There is confession. So Monday to Saturday,
yeah,
we
Prabhupada
do things, and Sunday we go to the church and confess. So, oh Lord,
like
please.
Whatever.
Then
I don't
again
know
from Sunday, Monday we start again because we
Prabhupada
know next Sunday is going
example.
To come.
Prabhupada gives that example. So same thing with atonement, you know, because the propensity to commit sin is always there because the mind is not cleansed, the consciousness is not cleansed. But only in the action, you can do that, you know, India, right? We have many different ways to do it, all those things. They do all, you pay some money to pujaris and all, they do all those things, atonement. So, and also Prabhupada gave example of elephant. So, what does elephant do after, you know, taking bath? Yeah, even, you know, I remember all the time, whenever I read this, I remember we had a dog. So same thing with the dog, you know, you give nice bath and all, right? After that, you just leave him. The next thing he does is he goes, rolls in the mud.
Yes.
Because he has to scratch his back and all. So same thing with the elephant. So that's why Prabhupada says you should never go to this Karmakanda processes for atonement. If you just sincerely pray to Krishna, he will take, because we already read that 18.66, right? He will take care of all the reactions. So we don't have to do all these Karmakanda processes.
And devotional service is so powerful, it will also clear that propensity to sin. Not only the reactions, but the propensity. So, you will not have the tendency to steal or tendency to, like, all those things will go away.
Yeah, that's the advantage of Bhakti Yoga.
Mm.
Because it
it's
cleanses
powerful, yeah.
The mind and consciousness. So, the tendencies will be automatically, it will, you know, it won't go at one time, like, you know, like that. But slowly, gradually, at some point of time, it will go away. And I can talk for myself. I don't need anybody's, you know, like I can see it in myself, how it works really. And also Prabhupada, he gave all the book, everything to give that intelligence. Because without knowledge, you won't know what is right and wrong. Right? That's the whole purpose of, you know, Prabhupada translating from Bhagavad, like, you know, Sanskrit, all this Sanskrit, Srimad Bhagavatam, 17... 12 cantos, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, just to, you know, make us aware of what is right, what is wrong, not to purify our consciousness, because we have millions of impression on our minds. So we need to cleanse all those things.
And Prabhupada said we have enough material for the whole life to engage us.
Yeah,
okay, so
there is never, you know,
like,
shortage of
there's nothing
material.
To do.
Yeah, you don't, once you take up, you know, you need to, as Harivilas Prabhu was mentioning, right? He's reading from 40 years, the Bhagavad Gita. 42 years, actually. But even when he gives class, if he reads the same verse, he says, I'm getting a different, the message. Or different, you know, understanding. Deeper understanding of that same verse. And he's reading for almost 42 years. So, like that. And also, Prabhupada talks about, you know, there are four categories of people. And did you come across anywhere? Not in class, somewhere. Do you generally know, like, four categories of people?
Who come to Krishna.
Not to come to Krishna. Mm. Who, you know, like, how you, like, you differentiate,
right,
four categories of people?
Sometimes, when you've gone through a lot of pain in your life, or some dukkha.
He's different. What are you referring to?
Like, that's why it's...
I know the words.
Anyway, related to this. Okay, let me tell. I think related to this Prabhupada quote. So what it's basically about the intelligence, using our intelligence, you know, knowledge, basically to gain knowledge, to get intelligence. And Prabhupada puts in four categories. So the first category of people is, so when they hear something, they automatically follow. Like, you know, for example, if you say that stealing something is wrong. If you just hear from the one scripture, that's a first class intelligence. You just, you know, you don't do it. The second class person is hears and he has to see somebody, you know, getting caught. Then only he understands. Mm-hmm. Otherwise he won't understand. So that's a second class intelligence. And the third class intelligence is?
He has to do it.
Yeah, so he hears, he sees, but he has to do it.
And then see,
once
maybe
he gets
I will
caught,
not get caught.
Yeah, he thinks I may not get caught. But once he gets caught, he will understand. So he will not do. So that's the third class. And fourth class is?
He
sees. No, he sees. No,
he
first
hears.
He hears. He sees. And he tries.
He gets caught.
He gets caught.
Still he tries.
But he will do it repeatedly.
Doing it.
Yeah. So Prabhupada says the whole thing of, you know, giving Bhagavad Gita or anything is to purify our intelligence and to become in. We
Complex.
All have to go to that first class intelligence. Just by hearing, we don't see so many things, right? We learn from our parents.
Mm.
If they say, you know, don't touch fire, it hurts or it burns you. And we don't do it. So same thing Prabhupada, you know, emphasizes a lot of things on, you know, you clearly understand Bhagavad Gita, then you will never get into trouble. You can, you know. That's the whole thing. It's very nice, detailed thing. Okay, then let's go to fourth one.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या
किम् अन्यै शास्त्रविस्तरे यः स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुक्तपद्माद्विनिश्रितः.
Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literature. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice because it is the essence of the Vedic literature and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Lord of, Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think it's very clear. Right? So, Shankaracharya is telling about this directly spoken by the Lord Himself. And also, there are two types, right? For example, Bhagavad Gita is directly spoken by the Lord Himself, and the Srimad Bhagavatam
is about the Lord.
It's about the Lord,
and it's
spoken by devotees. So that's also considered a scripture. It's not, because again, whatever is right, they are not going whatever. Krishna has given, they are covering all the principles in that or about Him Krishna. So it's considered a scripture. So it can be two, you know, ways.
That's like the theory part, like the practical application.
Yeah.
Mm.
Srimad Bhagavatam, yes, that's correct, exactly. How to apply how the devotees lived their life so we can follow them. So let's recite text number 5.
Bharatamrita sarvasvam Vishnu vakradvinishtutam Gita gandodakam pitva punarjanmana vidyate.
It's too small for us. One who drinks the water of Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata. And it is spoken by Lord Krishna, the original Vishnu. And I think the next one is...
Bhagavad Gita comes
from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord. But from an impartial study, we can appreciate the Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges.
Yeah, actually they have put the Prabhupada purport over there, that's why it's become too small. So we know the Ganges, right? Yeah, we Prabhupada Shankaracharya saying it, you know, we get salvation.
Is but it true that you get salvation by just by drinking?
I would put it, you know, the faith, if you have really that strong faith, I'm pretty sure, yeah, we can. Yeah, that's what, because it's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord.
One clause is eventually. Need not be
it's
this
not
life
one time,
or immediately.
Yeah,
eventually you will get salvation like that. So after all your things get purified, everything, eventually you
will get. Thinking depends on complete faith.
Yeah, yeah. Finally it comes down to faith. And
yeah. Actually, somebody asked Prabhupada, like, Prabhupada, how many years it takes for me to become Krishna conscious? Prabhupada said, just one moment, now you can become fully Krishna conscious. But then we have attachments as we are not ready, right? So we cannot be that fast.
Able to give up the wrong things, the wrong practices, wrong beliefs.
Yeah, we have been conditioned for so long.
So many lifetimes.
So it takes some time to give.
Even in this life only, we have so many habits, right? Which we cannot change. Our habits, and like we like sweets. Somebody likes sweets for so many years, cultivated that even if we know that we have sugar, we cannot stop eating.
You always give that example.
Because I.
Because she eats a lot of sweets.
I say to myself whenever I say that example. Better you grow up and.
And I
follow.
Keep telling her so many times, every day. She eats every day actually. Not one day, no, once in a week. Every day she eats.
Like that, yeah.
That was that, from the Ganga, the thing that's there in Bhajagovindam also. Bhagavad Gita, Kinchit, Ganga Jala Lava, Kanika Pita, Sakrita Piena, Murari Sava, Krite, Asya, Mena,
Sarcha. Very beautiful, no? Yeah. Like how amazing.
So Gita Mahatmya is like 8 verses only, or is
this
that
is by Shankaracharya? No, there is one Gita Mahatmya by where we know the conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati.
Okay.
That's about each chapter they talk.
Okay.
This is, I think, one section from Shankaracharya. That's what I came up.
Okay. So there is a larger.
Same. It should be. And Prabhupada picked only this. Maybe these are important or. So like this is very beautiful one.
Yeah.
I liked it so much actually. This
one. Because you have cows there.
Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogta Gopalanandana Partho Vatsa Sute Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat.
This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishad, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a coward boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. So amazing. So in this, you know, they have done the, like they are comparing analogy or think Lord Krishna is compared to a coward boy, or he is a coward boy actually. Arjuna is compared to a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees, they are also like, you know. So, I heard this lecture, so in that they were talking like, right, how Arjuna, because he was the first one to hear, right, directly from Krishna. So, the same way, right, when the cow give birth to calf, so, you know, the calf drinks first. So, the same way here Arjuna, you know, first he is drinking the nectar of Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna. But then, they did some more analysis. Somebody, you know, in the lecture, I heard it from different person, not from Prabhupada. So when the cow gives birth, right? So it usually, you know, the udder, it fills up with milk. The cow's udder, the calf cannot drink the whole milk, and it should not. It's not good for the calf because it's a concentrated, very high protein. I think the first time, and you know, after the birth, it's a very high concentrated milk with high protein. So even the calf cannot drink that much. It will die if it drinks. So same way here, since Bhagavad Gita is, you know, it's eternally, it's always so much of nectar. So Arjuna, he drank and he left the remaining nectar for all, you know, all of us. They have done this comparison, very nice comparison. So that's one very beautiful one. And somebody, you know, in that lecture, somebody was asking, you know, is milk, because some people say the milk is only for calf. Is it true? Whatever the milk cow gives, is it only for the calf, or it can be used? Is it offense kind of thing if you take? Are we crossing the boundaries of the nature or something? Is it true?
We can't say no because we didn't
do it. No, it's like how.
That is the vegan concept.
No, now how they are treating.
Some people,
the cow,
no, a lot of people follow that one still.
No, they say, vegans, they say if you talk to vegans, they'll say cow, you're drinking cow.
No, because they are seeing how they are, like nowadays, how the cows are being treated, like giving some.
Yeah, that's a vegan
production of milk. That's not good. But normally, if you keep your cow at home, it also has some service to do. You don't. Every animal has some service. Every woman has some service to do. Cow has that service. Buffalo and that, what is that other, like, male cow. They have also some service. So it's not like it's sin.
So in this, one Prabhu was telling, I don't know where the source is. I don't know whether it's a scriptural reference. I don't know. But he was telling the baby calf can drink only the 10% of his body weight. So if it's 25 kgs, it can drink only like 2.5 kgs of milk. But the cows generally gives much more than that. So it's by nature, it's designed, or it's, you know, the milk provides milk. We are not breaking any nature's rule or anything. So it produces milk for human beings also. So it's a, otherwise, because we have cows back in India, if you allow cow, the small, the calf, if it drinks too much, it will get suffocated. It cannot take. So you should never allow to drink. So that they have the discussion.
So let's. Shastram Devaki Putram Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrastasya Nama Hiyani
In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, Eka Shastram Devaki Putram Gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko Deva Devaki Putra Eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Shri Krishna. Eko mantras tasya namani, and only one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karma pi ekam tasya devasya seva, and let there be one word. Only the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we just follow this one mantra, we can transform the whole, this, you know, material world, which is, you know, full of contradictions, everything, into Vaikuntha. Right? Because everything, you know, everything is your service, your religion, everything is in this one word. So if everybody follows this, the place will become Vaikuntha. So let's go to the next one. So this is the end of. So this is how the discipline. Let's see the next slide also has. Yes, this is a picture change. So this is how the our discipline succession or parampara. So we are right to the importance of receiving the knowledge through parampara. Otherwise, it won't be bona fide. So this is how it's. And we have, Sri Sampradaya. Okay. So we have
second one is Brahma.
Yeah, ours is Brahma Madhva.
Brahma Madhva, yeah, so it comes.
Archana is Madhva. There are four sampradayas: Brahma, Sri, Lakshmi, and Shiva, Rudra
Sampradaya.
And Nimbar, Kumara Sampradaya.
Kumaras.
These are the four bona fide sampradayas. Arjuna's doesn't have.
So anyway,
Krishna's book to Arjuna. I don't know, but it didn't come as a lineage like that. Like he has to give to his disciple and all like that, right? It didn't come like that.
So
but
anyway, this.
Vyasa Deva Muni only like through his only details can write Vyasamuni?
Through his own, him only?
Like whatever he wrote, from that yes. only everything. Like he wrote what Krishna had told
yes,
to
quote.
Arjuna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is all important. That's why it's the same message from Krishna, whatever this book we are reading. He gave the same message to Arjuna, maybe he would have given to Brahma also.
Yes.
Right? He would have given the same. Because Krishna is the one who gave all the Vedas to Brahma also, right? You all know that, right? By the flute, by just playing flute, he could impart the knowledge to Brahma, all the Vedic literature. And... yeah, anyway, so this is what Prabhupada mentioned. This is how the Brahma
so,
Gaudiya Sampradaya.
Yeah.
This is how we
So important them. Personality is that Brahma, right? Lord Brahma, after that
Narada
Muni. So
Muni,
now we are also in Narada Muni Sampradaya. And then Vyasadeva, right? And then Madhva.
Madhvacharya.
Yeah, Madhvacharya.
Padmanabha.
Oh, actually that Madhva. Madhva is at 8. And then all this we don't know much. And then...
Of course, we don't have...
So this
Madhavendrapuri is also another prominent Acharya. Ishwarapuri is Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. Then Lord Chaitanya. Then Rupa. Rupa,
the
six Goswamis.
Goswami.
Then Raghunath Goswami. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti. Baladev Vidyabhushan. And then Bhakti
Bhaktivinoda
Thakur. Gaurakishwara Das Babaji. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhakti... Vedanta
That's
Swami Srila
Prabhupada. Yeah.
This is the unbroken chain of disciplic succession.
It's chronological, is it continuous?
Continuous means?
See, for example, Krishna
it's
and Brahma, right?
No, it's actually I'm...
The time may be, for example, Brahma,
that
Krishna,
gap,
Brahma, right? It may be...
Yeah, only
it's
prominent persons are
that,
given.
That's
yeah.
what
I'm
And this can be, you know, Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru. There are two kind of spiritual masters. So, some of them
most
I think
them
Siksha
Guru
and Diksha Guru. It's both combination. So, that's why its importance is like that. It doesn't have to be Diksha. It can be of Siksha Guru also. That's important. Because in the last four, for example, for sure we know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishwara Bhakti Siddhanta. That's, I know for sure they are Diksha Guru. And of course, Krishna, Brahma, they are all directly, right?
But what's the Diksha Guru?
Diksha Guru is the one who gives, you know, the initiation. Like, you know, we take the beads for chanting and all. The Gayatri Mantra, they recite the Gayatri Mantra. Siksha Guru is, you know, mostly one who guides us. For example, in our case, we have, like our spiritual master, who we went to visit. And Harivilas Prabhu, our temple president, is our Siksha Guru. Because he is the one who guides. See, because Diksha Guru won't be around you all the time. Because they travel. Usually sannyasis, they travel. But the Siksha Gurus are the one who usually around you and they know what you are doing exactly.
So it's like now it is that way. But earlier it is always a Guru only. Who provides you Diksha as well as Siksha. Like Siksha.
No, no. You can have many Siksha Gurus. Diksha Guru is only one. But Siksha Gurus can be many. Whoever guides you in your spiritual progress, they can be Siksha Gurus. Okay, I think that's the end of Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
Introduction, not Bhagavad Gita.
It's open
already.
It's the beginning of the beginning. End of the beginning. What do they say? Beginning of the end? No, end of
I have one this. Question. Why do we say Mother Ganges? Because name is Ganga, right? Why we say Ganges? Why it is written? I have always this in my mind, but I don't know.
I think it's a pronunciation, that's what I like. We used to tell
yeah.
Ganga, Ganga,
yeah.
then
British.
Britishers, the accent or whatever, they change it to Ganges.
That's why, otherwise it's all, there is
Ganga,
no
the mother
significance
Ganga.
Why it is called
no,
Ganges.
It's
because
all,
it's like S, it's like the multi.
It's Ganga. Actually.
Ganga, right?
Mother Ganga.
Okay, everybody ready? Huh? We are entering into the battle of Kurukshetra now. No. We'll just now set the scene.
No, this is just setting the scene, which is Prabhupada discusses in the
there is a,
preface kind of thing. Before
preface it starts,
yeah, it's
but
in
we,
the book,
we thought
setting
this
the
will
scene.
Be the best time to discuss this. So, we can set the mood of how the Bhagavad Gita happens, like what happens. It's like a nice story time. Where is Bhavik? Oh, okay. So, setting the scene, right? So Mahabharata happened about 5000 years ago, which is like towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, before the Kali Yuga started. And the moment Krishna left this world, that's when Kali Yuga started actually. So, and then in the whole episode of Mahabharata, there is one section where in the battlefield, Arjuna is confused and Krishna speaks transcendental knowledge in the form of Bhagavad Gita. So that 45 minutes and 700 verses is called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is song of God. Bhagavad means of God. Gita is song. So, I don't know, I heard, yeah. Krishna spoke 45 minutes of 1.5 hour, I don't know, mostly approximately.
You heard 1.5 hour?
Less than 1 hour.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Anyway, it's okay. Anyway, for us, like very great is speaking Mother. So, and it's a great philosophical and religious dialogue just before the war. And actually, when Krishna is speaking, all the soldiers, everybody is hearing that time. And they had that culture that it's not like the moment I see my army, I'm going to, opponent, I'm going to start attacking. They had that culture like, and they're all waiting for the conch shell to blow to start the war, ready to fight. But then everybody heard the Bhagavad Gita. And it's spoken by Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, to his dearmost devotee and friend, Arjuna. So very first section of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes that we should not be confused that Arjuna is like one of us. He actually acts like one of us, but he's a pure devotee. He knows exactly what is Krishna's position. But he, Krishna himself, that's why puts him in illusion to become confused, so that he can narrate this dialogue and have this opportunity for all of us to hear. So the history is, there is a Kuru dynasty, Kauravas. So essentially, there is a king called Vichitravirya. And he had a lot of wives, and he couldn't give birth to a child. So after he passes away, his mother calls Vyasadeva to come and conceive child from his wives. That ages, it's allowed like that. If suppose they don't have children, they can have from his brother. So Vyasadeva, he was just finishing his tapasya from somewhere, and immediately he gave that this thing to his mother that, whenever you call me, I will come. Immediately I will come. So he came in that vesh, like with all this beard, without shave for so many years and like that. He comes there. And then mother says, so can you please do this service? Can you marry these wives and give the children to progress with the generation? Then he said, okay. And then first wife, I don't remember the names. First wife, she becomes very scared of Vyasadeva. And he closes her eyes during the meeting. Then that's why Dhritarashtra is born, who is blind, who doesn't have the eyesight. And then second wife, she becomes very scared and becomes pale. Then Pandu is born, who is white. And then there is a maid servant who doesn't have any problem, and she was very okay. And then Vidura is born. That's why normally Vidura is a minister. These are the three brothers. And even though Dhritarashtra is the first one, because he is blind, he couldn't rule the kingdom. So Pandu took the kingdom. He in charge. And then... So then after that, Pandu had to leave the world at a very early age.
Because of a curse.
Yeah. Okay, I'm waiting for them to settle down.
Hey, Naman.
Naman, you want to sit and hear the story? Okay, so Pandu had to leave the world at the early age. Then the kingdom came, because the kids, Pandavas and Kauravas, were very young. They couldn't take charge. So Dhritarashtra became like an acting king at that time, and he was taking care of everyone. But then soon he started getting attached to that being called as a king. And also he had that motivation for his sons to take the kingdom when compared to Pandavas. So then he started differentiating, and then he took side of Duryodhana for all his plots to slowly take away kingdom from Pandavas. Then Bhishmadev was there. He is a grandfather, but he has taken the vow that he will not marry, right? So that's the reason he doesn't involve in anything. But he remains as loyally on the Kaurava side, but he's a grandfather, so he's affectionate to both of them, Pandavas and Kauravas, and especially he likes Pandavas because they were always very righteous. Always, you know, everybody who behaves good, you would like to favor them, most of them. So Dhritarashtra has 100 sons, and among them the most prominent is Duryodhana and Dushyasana. And Pandavas, we have 5, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Nakula, Arjuna, Sahadeva. And they have the common military teacher Dronacharya, from whom they learnt all the arts together as kids. And many times from the childhood, Duryodhana attempted to kill Pandavas many times, but they were very carefully protected by Vidura, and later on Krishna himself came and protected them. Many incidents, right, where they burned the house of Lakshagra. That one, and then even they fed poison to Bhima, right? Yeah, so many times they attempted like that. So actually, if you see, you know, this is a wonderful example of Pandavas. Like from the beginning, they are actually very devoted to the Lord. But if you see in their lives, that they had to go through so many things. So that gives us we should know that it's the nature of world. By nature, it doesn't mean just because we become devotees, things will all become rosy and okay, more easy and things like that. And especially because they are devotees, such obstacles or difficulties will only increase their devotion to the Lord. And to glorify that devotion, Krishna orchestrates like that. If you see, Krishna never let them fail in any situation. So that's how Krishna shows their glory. Even especially Queen Kunti had to go through so many things from the childhood. Like her husband died so early, and then she has to see what her sons has to go through. And her own first son, she had to let him go, and then she had to see her own sons fighting. Like how difficult it is for a lady to face all these things. But her prayers are so exalted. All the Vaishnava Acharyas, her prayers are in 8th chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers by Queen Kunti. Prabhupada extracted that a separate book also. There's very, very exalted glorifications of Krishna, that even all these sannyasis and all these acharyas, who are so-called men, they take guidance from her. It's like that. She's such a... Usually they consider women as like maybe less intelligent or... But in devotion, she is like topmost. She is like a motherly relationship with Krishna. So that's the one. And another important point about Pandavas is like all these 5 Pandavas brothers, each of them had very, very different nature. Completely. Like Bhima is like, if you just agitate him, he's ready to go and kill somebody like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj is like pakka, it's like Brahmana. And all the brothers, they fight with him. Are you really Kshatriya? He doesn't get agitated. In the gambling match, Draupadi, everybody is like, why are you here? Why? They fight like this. But at the end of the day, whatever he says, they will follow. Because they have that such much respect for him and this thing. And Arjuna is another. So that's the wonder, that there is like unity in diversity. All of them are different natures, but they are one in serving the will of the Lord and to be united to please her mother like that. So that's a very nice example they set.
And also in this connection, you know, Prabhupada glorifies Draupadi. Because she was married to all 5 of them, and she could know how to satisfy all 5 of them, and each one of them is very powerful. Actually, you know, Bhima is considered as powerful as how many elephants? 10,000 elephants. He has a power of 10,000 elephants. That's kind of a comparison in scriptures. And Yudhishthira is the king, right?
Why Draupadi is married to 5? It's a very interesting story there, right? I mean, it's like usually when they were getting the, they're picking around and getting the food and all, right? So mother always says to the son that, okay, go ahead and share it. So then they go and Draupadi and come over, mother didn't see it. He didn't see that it was Draupadi, so she go ahead and share it.
Yeah.
And then they go ahead and share it. So they cannot defy mothers. Very interesting story there.
So in this case, you know, Draupadi is also very exalted person actually, because she could... nicely, you know, take care of all of them.
And
Rukmini, right? You know Rukmini? Rukmini Devi?
Krishna's
wife. So once she met Draupadi, And she was taking, you know,
advice
tips how to, you know, take care of Krishna.
How because to take care of husband.
Basically, she was asking, how we are taking care of, you know, 5 husbands so nicely. So, can you give us some tip? Like, can you give me some tip where I can take care of Krishna? Like, so exalted, Draupadi.
Draupadi also is like really devotee of Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. She just called, right? She is completely
also
surrendered.
Very, many incidents, like even that Vastra Arana, that incident, like, she shows complete dependence on the Lord. And then even that Akshaya Patra incident with Durvasa Muni, when everything gets over, right? So then she starts calling out intensely Krishna, and Krishna is in Dwaraka, immediately comes. And then he says that that's actually the class which we are going to cover tomorrow early morning. So then Krishna says, okay, I've come here, now give me some food to eat. Then Draupadi is like, oh Krishna, that's why I'm calling you, there's no food, I already ate. If I eat, then the vessel doesn't produce anymore, so I cannot give. Then said, no, see, something is there. Then Krishna searched and he found one particle of vegetable. Then he ate that and he was satisfied because of the devotion of Draupadi, with which she cooked. He was completely satisfied. Because of that, all the Durvasa Muni and all the sages, they got satisfied and they were bathing at that time. They were completely satisfied and Bhima was sent to call them. The moment they saw Bhima coming, they got very scared and they thought, like, we cannot now really, if Yudhishthira Maharaj has prepared such nice meal, we cannot go and honor it, unnecessarily you will feel sorry. So they said, we'll come next. Exactly. They were completely satisfied.
So they didn't go up.
Yeah. Then they left from there. So they were, thus they were saved from the calamity. So this incident, Maharaj was telling, Rompad Maharaj only was telling, that this shows how Draupadi is so attached to the Lord actually. In any difficulty, she was immediately calling out for Krishna. So nice, yeah. So then we see that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he descended to this material world as a king, and he is a nephew to Pandu's wife Kunti. Kunti's brother is Vasudeva, and Vasudeva's son is Krishna. So that's how he becomes the aunt. Kunti is Krishna's aunt, mother of Pandavas, she is also called as Pritha. That's why Arjuna is called Partha. Right? Krishna favored Krishna obviously naturally favored Pandavas when compared to Kauravas, and he always protected them by staying next to them and giving them guidance, and also like in the battlefield especially, right, giving them all these maneuvers, what to do, all the things. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he told him to tell the lie, and then so many things, you know, like many people have blessings, like if they had to die in certain way, or if they died in certain way, like for example, Jayadratha had a blessing that whoever makes his head fall on ground, they are going to die. So then Krishna told, just before he is going to kill him, he told, okay, you send your special arrow, cut his head, and with that arrow, you send that head on the lap of his father, the person's father. So then that's all. And the father immediately got shocked. He didn't know whose head is. He just brushed it away, and that's all. He is the one who put the head down. So father also dead. So these are the things, and even that Jarasandha, he is combined from two, right?
Yeah.
So he cannot be killed any other way. So then Krishna took
Bhima is the
one. Yeah, and Krishna told that just throw it in.
Yeah.
The
so Krishna took a twig and he did like this and showed him. Then he teared him apart and put it in reverse, and they couldn't join, and it is killed. So all these tricks, even Duryodhana, like
even
he told him, no, hit him here, all those things.
So Shakuni was always tutoring Duryodhana that no need to get anyone, just get Krishna. Okay, so when Krishna had come to the peace negotiations were going on, so then he had come to both Duryodhana and Arjuna. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So then Shakuni told Duryodhana that Krishna is sleeping. So go and ask him what you want. Ask him what you want, right? So Arjuna also went during the same time itself. So Krishna was sleeping, and then obviously Duryodhana went and sat near his head, right?
Yeah.
And Arjuna, as he is the devotee of Krishna, he sat near his head.
Feet.
Near the feet, yeah. Mm. And then when Krishna woke up, he saw Arjuna first. And then he asked him, like, what do you want? And then he told that I want you to be in the battlefield. whereas Duryodhana was very happy that he got all the
army
and everything, which is like a million and then he was very happy, he came back and when he told Shakuni, Shakuni scolded that, no, this is not how it works.
That's very good, yeah.
I also heard that, you know, that there's no cheating in the match. It's just that this guy Shakuni was, all his job was only that because he was limp, right? So he could not, he was not skilled in any other thing. So he was only skilled in this. And Yudhishthira, because he was a Kshatriya, any challenge thrown to you, you have to take it up. He had to take it up. And that's how he got, there was no cheating in that.
But how can you win every, like, every game one after the other without cheating, right?
No, he had that special blessing. He had that blessing that whatever, whenever he plays dice, whatever he thinks it's going to happen, that's going to happen. So he had that special blessing. So he, everybody knew he will never lose. But because he took side of Kauravas, they had that opportunity now to take away everything from Pandavas. And because they challenged Yudhishthira, okay, now play the gambling match. According to Kshatriya rule codes of conduct,
yes,
if somebody challenges for a match or Kshatriya, a war, Kshatriya cannot say, I will not do.
He said the second time when he played is when he lost everything.
Exactly.
First
so
time he played,
there's
he lost,
a very nice thing. Yudhishthira played first time. Then what happened? He didn't lose. He got it back, right?
Got it back.
And then he was going.
He was going.
Then again called. Okay, now let's come. Let's play again.
Yeah.
Then Yudhishthira Maharaj was going, and all the Pandavas is like, already faced all this. Why are you doing this? And they couldn't stop him. Then immediately Acharya tell Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking, this, there is something inevitable happening. This is the Krishna's will is there, and this is what his will is. So I cannot stop it. This is how, because he wants to go away, but he's pulled into it. So he understood immediately, this is all arrangement of the Lord, I should just be an instrument. So that's why he went and he kept quiet and lost everything, and everybody was holding him. And
otherwise, how can a righteous man like him
do something? Yeah. So it's
that's
all.
Draupadi and all his brothers have always blamed him. I mean,
yeah.
If you see when I read that.
No, Arjuna and Bhima was about to, you know, hit him. Like, so angry at him.
So everybody played that part for the whole the Kurukshetra war to come together for Krishna's will to destroy all the religious people and then make Yudhishthira
the whole mankind, basically that was, they were set to all
exactly
to all,
set all whole world is divided into two armies at that time. Nobody, and then everybody has to either die or live, and only few people lived, Pandavas and few people from Kauravas, Kripacharya and somebody else was alive, otherwise everybody is vanquished. Then that's why I think Prabhu was saying cheating means, so he was commenting on that. Then Krishna, Draupadi, Yavi, so there Karna played a role where he had that enmity with Draupadi from the beginning, because during her Swayamvara, they said, right, and she knew Karna was there. Only two people could shoot the arrow through the eye of the fish which was going on the top by seeing the water in the floor, right? Only two people could do, only Karna and Arjuna. And Karna was the first who was ready to go and take the challenge. Then Draupadi immediately said, I would marry somebody who is greater than Kshatriya or equal to Kshatriya, but not lower than that. But Karna was taken care by Adiratha and Radha, the two
fishermen.
So nobody knows what Varna Karna is. So only thing people know is they were brought by these people. So they said, okay, you're Shudra, you're not qualified. So from then on, Karna bore lot of enmity towards Pandavas, especially Arjuna. So he always took opportunities whenever there is chance to take vengeance. And then seeing that actually Duryodhana took side of Karna, because this is the best thing, right? That's how the enemies, politics, if you know, all the opponents come together as one group. So, and then Karna is the one who told Dushyasana to, okay, bring Draupadi by her hair and disrobe her, all those things. So because of that, he had to suffer like anything. And they took 13 years of exile. And then they came back after doing everything dutifully and said, okay, give us our kingdom back. Then Duryodhana was like, no, why will we give? We'll not give. Then they said, at least give us 5 villages, because as Kshatriya, we have to rule. Otherwise, there is no other duty for, we cannot do anything. We cannot survive otherwise. They said, no, we will not even give a piece of land through which you can even put a needle, or some analogy like that they told. So cruel. So then, even then, actually Krishna went as a messenger to, I think these five villages came by Krishna only, right? Yeah. So Krishna went as a messenger, doing all as a final thing. Still it didn't work out. Then war was inevitable, right? And then whole world was divided into two parties, ready to face the war. So that's a battlefield scene where we, the background we can see, right? Two armies are there, and there's chariot and Krishna. And there, the first opening verse of Bhagavad Gita says, Dhritarashtra asks Sanjaya. Sanjaya, who is Sanjaya?
The chariot. The chariot of Dhritarashtra. But he was given the Divya Drishti by Vyasadeva.
So he is disciple of Vyasadeva. And he was given a special
privileges.
That he could see.
So the thing is, like, Dhritarashtra already know that his sons are going to kill, right? So Vyasamuni had was planning to give that to Dhritarashtra so that he can see, because he cannot go to the battlefield. But then he said, I cannot see the killing of my sons myself. So that's why he Vyasamuni gave it to Sanjaya. And then Sanjaya saw and narrated the entire incident to Dhritarashtra.
Okay.
So is this Vyasamuni different from the Vyas?
No, same.
Same Vyasamuni.
Same Vyasadeva.
They are all Chiranjeevis actually. Vyasadeva, they are Chiranjeevis.
They are very old.
So then first opening verse of Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya, in this pious land, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, in this Dharmakshetra as Kurukshetra, Kauravas and Pandavas as, he says, my sons and Pandavas, he differentiates. We'll cover that details when we go into it. They have assembled, and what did they do? So naturally, what do? In the war, they'll fight, right? But the points Prabhupada tells, like, because he knows it's a holy place, and holy place always has a favorable effect on religious people. Righteous people, Pandavas. So he's afraid that because of that influence, that Kauravas will stop. He says they will back off from war. So he was afraid. He wanted war. And he also wanted Pandavas to lose. So that's why he was concerned. So he asked, what did they do? Please tell me. So that's the beginning.
So he has like that unintelligent category people, right? He already knows that his son is blind.
Yeah, that's why they say he is not only materially blind, he is spiritually blind. That's what they say.
But he wanted war.
Yes.
He wanted
war. He wanted war.
He wanted his son. It's like
he wanted his son to be the king.
Yes.
So at the end, last section in the setting the scene, Prabhupada gives this some important points about this specific version of Bhagavad Gita again. So mistakes in other commentaries is that they have brushed aside the person Krishna and they put their own concepts and philosophies. But here we don't see that. And then they considered the history of Mahabharata as mythology and see Krishna at best to be a great historical person. But not like Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has opulences and everything. But then Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the goal and substance of Bhagavad Gita, as per Bhagavad Gita itself. So he is the goal. And about this translation, so the purpose is to direct the reader to Krishna rather than away from him. So the whole, that's why it is said that so many people have read Bhagavad Gita so many years, there is no transformation. But within few weeks after coming in touch with Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita or with devotees, people, they say, express that there is some change. I have learned something. Even myself, like for 25 years or something, I was doing some kind of, I don't know what, pious activities or something. Nothing happened. 25 years, no change. But then within 2-3 weeks or 1 month or 6, that's a purity. So much change, and you would want to dedicate your whole life for service of the Lord. That's an amazing thing. Thus, Bhagavad Gita is wholly consistent and comprehensible because the message is same everywhere. Actually, it's so amazing. From the beginning, Prabhupada starts telling Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is Supreme. One scientist, actually, it's like he told in all these verses, so many verses, it's not there that Krishna is Supreme. There are some verses about material elements, some verses about Sankhya Yoga, some verses about all this. There are different verses. But in the purport, you have already always told Krishna is Supreme, Krishna is Supreme. What is this? So he got the point. Then Prabhupada said he got the point. That's what I wanted to
basically
say.
She went to complain about the book to Prabhupada, saying, you know, the translation doesn't have a lot, you know, everywhere he doesn't have, right? Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if you open one page, each page, like somewhere Prabhupada
says, yeah,
you
will never use it actually. Yeah.
So then he told it's wrong, translation is wrong. No, like the purport and all, it's not correct. Then Prabhupada said, you have understood the essence of the book. That's what I want to convey.
So we got the
Prabhupada
point.
Was very happy. You are the right person. You know, you understood the.
Yeah. So Sri Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita and its ultimate goal. Bhagavad Gita as it is presents this great scripture in its true terms. So that is Prabhupada's gift for all of us, and we are so fortunate to come together and study as sincerely and as seriously as possible. So we are also getting great encouragement through all of you.